You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS, of course, in Oshkosh, and of course, the Civic Media app. Segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Get the look you want for your home. Customizable windows and doors from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The durability of materials gets tested constantly. They open and close doors, latches, shades, tens of thousands of times to ensure they last for years to come. Pella offers custom colors and innovative features like shades between the glass. Right now, get 0% interest up to 36 months. Certain restrictions apply. Ends October 31st. Get started today at PellaWI.com. Jim, introduce our special guest.
All right. First, we got to say we love Pella, too, though.
Absolutely.
That is and I just want a little precursor to our Thursday guest. Pella, when you put in your doors and windows, they're the two largest heat losses in your home are doors and windows. Everybody's like, well, we got to do insulation. And that's true. You got to do all those things. But doors and windows. And we have a guy coming on from the CUB, the Citizens Utility Board, Tom Content. Do you know him? He used to be from Green Bay. Danielle, do you know him?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I thought maybe you would. Being in the news. Anyway, there's a big, WPS is raising their rates, We Energies, and he's kind of fighting that. So anyway, you get your Pella windows and doors, you can take the increase. Anyway, that's my point on Pella. But more importantly, Danielle Bina is in the house. Are you legendary like John Mino when it comes to sports?
there's nobody.
Okay, all right.
There is no equal.
All right.
None.
But you spent how many years in the media?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you were in the media a long time.
Not that many. We started almost the exact same day, and it was about 12 years ago. Right? We're getting out of college.
That was it.
40. Okay.
Long time.
But you know, did you hear what I was telling? The story I told you're driving up?
No.
First day I met you, first day at work, and we're talking about the business and, you know, the pros and cons, and you said someday you still want to be a teacher. I'll never forget that.
I told you that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did tell you that.
Yeah.
We talked about this last
time. Yeah, and you ended up being
a
teacher.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I want to hear about that. So
a lot of people had something they always want to do, and it's like never did it.
So we were talking about Madison before. Of course, I went to Madison. And you know, you had to declare a major, and back then it was kind of like, okay, what doesn't have a lot of math in it?
Yeah, absolutely. You hate to say it, but that's true.
Oh, wait a minute. Do I have to take a foreign language for that? Because I already took this in high school. No.
Unfortunately, I did have to take stats. Did you have to take stats?
No, I had to take genetics. So, and I thought that was just like, okay, you take a white rabbit and a black rabbit, and you get these gray rabbits, and you do these little squares and everything. Well, and that's what it was for the first 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, I got this made in the shade.
Of course, your dad was a doctor, though. Couldn't he help?
No. Oh. A four-credit, you know, class, and all of a sudden, week five, it turns into geometric proofs, like three pagers. And all of a sudden, I'm like, where did the rabbits go? But anyway, no, in Madison, so I had to declare a major.
Well, that's better. You lasted. I told you about my first, I had to take a science at Arizona State. Yeah, just minor science. Just some experience.
Get the credit.
And so I took this introduction to physics. And it's for people that were going to be like junior high teachers. So they'd have a little background in it. You know, don't have to be whatever. And I didn't get through the syllabus as he was going to the thing. I walked out. No lie.
Yeah, well, I was already in 5 weeks. I'm like,
at that point, it's like, oh, you're not getting your money back.
She needs help.
I
went in to declare my major. Let me finish. Because Jim asked this question three threads ago. So
we thread a lot here.
I know. So I'm just going to keep you on track for 20 minutes.
Like that last kid.
You'll hate it.
We had a kid on here yesterday.
Oh, no.
Wonderful little boy.
10 years old.
Oh, fun.
Who wants to be a
podcaster.
Podcaster. And 10. Goes to school at Da Vinci. And he, you could tell,
He just, incredible mind.
And he's just talked about, like you said, let's stay with the thread, that kind of stuff. And
did he rein him in?
No, but at one point he said, I don't appreciate this. The what was it again?
Sarcasm? Don't appreciate your sarcasm.
I don't appreciate your sarcasm, Jeff.
10.
An old soul. Anyway, no, it's one of those things where, you know, you go in to declare your major, and you really don't know what you're doing. But I did know that I loved history, so, you know, wanted to teach Broadfield Social Studies. I found that major.
Awesome.
Didn't know what it was, but I found it, and I thought, oh, yeah, well, I could do that. But I wanted secondary ed, so high school.
I would love to be a history teacher. Well,
yeah, and the cool thing about That's it good. Is, you know, it's like what I teach now in media is everything changes all the time. Well, you know, in history, I mean, you know, the who won the war pretty much is, you know, what happened. But
it's
anyway,
not gonna change.
So I mean, your take on it might change, but but the outcome is predictable. So, I went in to declare, and the counselor looks at me and says, oh, "Are you good at any sports?" I said, "What?" And he said, "Well, you know, there aren't any secondary ed jobs in social studies. If you want math or science, there's a lot of jobs." I said, "Nah, that's gonna work." He said, "Well, you know, here's what you do: you get a coaching certificate."
Oh, jeez.
And you get in as a long-term sub in your area. And I looked at him and I said, well, what am I going to coach?
What are you like a phi ed sub?
No, like a coaching certificate. So you would coach like a volleyball
Okay. If you have that with you, you get hired over other people. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Got it.
And this is Madison, and I'm thinking this is the advice
at the University of Wisconsin
that we're getting here.
Wow! And,
but you know, he was right. I mean, there just weren't a lot of jobs, so I switched gears.
Those your advisors—that's an important role because that can, you know, like you said, I don't know that you got the best advice, but when I went to see my advisor, and I wanted to be, you know, doesn't every kid want to be like a guidance counselor or get your master's and all that? And he's telling me how I have to go on and out of school. I'm like, look, let's start this over. I said, I need to know the quickest way from the front door to the back door.
Yeah, right.
And he goes, go to summer school, take these two classes and be a business major. I'm like, that's what I did.
Let me out.
I just had to be out 4 years. I had no intention of going and not only spending money, but the economic impact of not making money. It's like a double dip in your fifth year.
But back then, college was cheap. Well, I shouldn't say cheap because that means low quality. It was so affordable.
No question.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. Wasn't it kind of wrong?
Well, you went to a private school.
No. Oh, you went to a private school. So the state, you know, the UW system then?
Yeah, true.
$6,000.
Yeah, right.
I went to Arizona State.
A year.
Out of state. And it was like dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
everybody moved to Arizona. It went crazy, crazy, crazy expensive.
Yeah. Arizona State has all those online.
Like that's huge.
A million
you know,
online
What's her name? Aisha from Channel 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She graduated from Arizona State. I said, oh, did you hang out by the fountains? And she says, oh, I was never actually on that campus.
Right, right.
I go, what do you mean? She says, well, there's a downtown campus and online and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow.
Well, so Arizona State was one of the early birds in that game. I mean, they saw the opportunity and they got in real early and really expanded all these programs.
Of course, you know what? I bet they followed the lead, and not to talk Arizona academics here, but the University of Phoenix, which is like the biggest online school in the country.
Yeah.
Well, they
that went crazy.
Yeah, for a while.
For a while.
For a while.
Well, then they had their problem.
Didn't end well.
No, it didn't end well at all. But,
higher ed is really challenged right now.
But while we're talking about Madison, still is probably the best deal in the state. To go to that university and with those professors and with the contacts they have and with the speakers they bring in for, I don't know, you don't seem like you agree with me. Like for $25,000,
I teach at UWGB, so of course I don't agree with you.
Oh,
I mean, if you talk about affordable.
Well, I teach at TC. We're more affordable than you.
Well, yeah, it's true, too. All right, there's always somebody better.
Okay, let me tell you, Mesabi State Junior College.
Yeah,
that's $300 a semester.
So the tech college may be cheaper. How many sets of plates do you have, though,
Daniel? That's right.
I was laughing about that because I inherited dishes, and I didn't even know I was inheriting dishes. So when my mom passed away, so there's a cottage, and there were boxes of things in this crawl space, and I open it up, and there's like the women who are listening will know what this is. I don't expect. Well, maybe you
Jim
will
know.
Jim
will know. I guarantee you, Jim will know.
Limoges.
He will know.
Have you heard the French porcelain, china, Limoges. So I open up and there's an entire set of this stuff that I never had seen. I have my grandmother's china. I have my other, my mother's two other sets of china. And I just packed up one and I said to Michael, what? We're going to start eating.
Have you ever used it?
I've used my grandma's.
Okay.
Everything. But, you know, Thanksgiving. Christmas. I'm going to start making squirrel plates or something out of this stuff to deter the squirrels.
It kind of makes the dinner even more special, though. And you can talk about it. I have some china that's like over 100 years old, which is pretty cool. You know?
I do too.
Then I have the stuff that I have some stuff that's kind of like it's got the edges are like pink, and I use that for Valentine's Day. You know?
Yeah, well, that's nice. Like Michael and I sit in front of the TV. I can just see us with this china.
I make that wedding soup. It is. You guys over for dinner sometime.
It is cool. Yeah. Okay, we'll take you up
guys
on that.
It didn't sound like you're too excited about it.
Do you have any blue? I like blue.
Of course, got a lot of blue. Yeah, but just it's different. It's different kinds. I had a party at my daughter's best friend. We had her bridal shower at our house, and we set the tables up, different china, and I told her she could pick one set because I had so damn many. So she picked one. Wasn't that a nice gift?
Yeah. No?
Wonderful gift.
Yeah, it was a gift to you. You got rid of one.
Yeah, okay. A gift to my wife. Where did Jim get rid of the
Do you know what Jim is doing this weekend?
What?
Oh, wait.
Oh,
maybe.
Oh, well, oh, wait. Vermont? Are you going to Vermont?
Or he's going to the big museum show in Manitowoc.
Rar Museum?
So excited about
it. The Rar Museum. It's table setting.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Danielle just looked like a fish on the dock.
I'm speechless.
Something trying to come out, but it's just not.
Danielle does not get speechless.
Very often.
She is speechless. No, it sounds great. I'd rather go to Vermont, though. I hear that Vermont is lovely this time of year. What movie is that from?
It sounded White Christmas.
Yes.
Nice.
Ding, 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 ding. Ding, ding. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Danny Kay.
Yes.
You keep saying.
Yeah, right. Not a nice guy. Not a nice guy.
No? Did you meet him?
John did.
You met Danny Kay?
He was co-owned when I was going to Arizona State, and I was stringing for newspaper, sports writing-wise, and the Seattle Mariners, brand new team. They were in Tempe, Arizona. And Danny Kay was the owner of the team. And I tried to talk to him about three times, and he completely blew me off.
Well, I'm never watching that movie.
Exactly.
No, I know. I've never seen that movie the same. I just but it looks.
Sisters.
It
is.
Sisters.
Is it rock that I know that song?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, mister.
Jump, get in between me and my man.
Can you imagine Freckleface having sisters as cute as that?
There's your buddy Danny.
Sisters, there were never such
devoted
sisters.
Oh, this song goes
out
for
Jim. He's putting his play settings together for the party.
Yeah.
This is the background music.
I would love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Quick break,
the
back
on the decorated.
Sharing every little thing that we are wearing.
Hey, welcome back. Come on over the mayor here. Good looking Tuesday morning. Danielle Bina, our very special guest. Danielle, and you teach media.
Yeah.
Which I'm very impressed with because when I go over to NBC 26 or Channel 5 or any of those, things have changed so much from our day. It's unbelievable. I don't know if there's another entity that did such 180 degrees from our era till now. Isn't it something?
Yeah. But the basic precepts are still
the same. The basic precepts are still the same. But kids now are doing...
They're doing three times what we had to do.
And when we'd always have a photographer, a professional photographer who was college educated and trained to be a professional photographer. And it was great. And now they have to do that. They have to do the other thing. It's incredible.
But it's wrong.
The load.
I mean, you need a photographer. Those are the eyes... The visual, and
you know what I don't like, Danielle? There's some of these young women, especially, get set out on these like news stories late at night by themselves, trying to do live shots and things like that. And we've all been around. There's some freaky people that TV attracts when you're out on the street.
Well, tell me about
it. Yeah.
I had a shoebox of prison letters.
That's what I mean.
You
told me to stop writing you, but.
Yeah. And then you got out.
I know, right?
And when you got out, I was really worried.
Actually, you know what's funny? I was going through, this is a true, I could bring him in. When I was trying to find my ACT scores, because Jim and I had a bet on this, okay? And I find a whole box of letters from you to get, and I probably had 6 or 7 from prison. Prisoners writing you.
Yeah. I had one in Minnesota, my first job, and he did get out. And I kept getting these letters that said, I'm going to take you for a ride in my convertible. Like,
yeah,
okay. The guy shows up at my house.
Oh, wow.
With a convertible. And I, you know, I'm standing at the door and I see the convertible. I'm thinking, no, this is before the internet, you know, so you couldn't
Google it.
Or,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah. There are some stuff. But yeah, it's changed. But I think, the basic.
Telling the story. You got to tell the story.
Storytelling and the visuals.
So let me talk to you. Let me ask you about teaching. You teach at the university.
Yeah, I'm starting my 17th year.
Okay.
Wow.
The students who come in are out of high school. Or do you have returning students?
Well, we have a mix. We have some non-traditional students that are older that, you know, just wanted to finish their bachelor's degree.
Right.
You know, we have a Rising Phoenix program, and we have some high school kids who are taking some of our classes.
That's huge.
It is.
We did a golf tournament this year, and a young guy was going to be a senior in high school, and he is basically like a junior in college.
Yeah, he was close to that. He's through his sophomore
unbelievable.
Year.
It's nice, and it's nice for them to get exposure before they head out. You know, the success rate, I think, is higher. Retention rate's higher. And so we get some of those. I would say probably the majority of our undergrads are traditional, 18 to 23, 18 to 24 year olds. I don't have the exact stats.
Yeah, but would you encourage a student, senior, take a gap year and then go? Or do you like them right out of school? Make a difference? You notice a difference?
I think it depends on what their field of interest is. You know, for some things, I mean, let's say you're going to psychology, you're probably going to go to grad school, so you might as well start and get going. I mean, where are you going to work for a year? I think in some of the more applied fields, I really think the gap year should be before going for a master's. Because I think, for example, in communication, to go right from undergrad to grad school with no experience in the field.
And John talks about that, how important that is.
You know, experience counts, like in our field, in media.
Absolutely.
You can study it all you want. You got to do it.
You got to get that internship.
Oh, you got to do it. And today, the internships today are the new first jobs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, didn't you look at yours as basically a professional job when you had your internship?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's how you had to approach it. And it's like such a big difference from just going to class and whatever and hearing theory or whatever. But because even at ASU, I mean, being such a big school, we had so many kids in the department. To get into the editing room for an hour a week was huge.
Yeah.
But an internship, you can, if you want to put in the time, you can learn all that stuff, the mechanics of it.
Oh, I know. But I think some of them go right to grad school and then they go on for a PhD and never working in a field. We're in things like mathematics that's fine. I mean, that's what you do. So it depends. So taking that gap year, a lot of them want to go right from high school into the workforce now. That's why, enrollment is so challenged. But I don't know. I love learning, so I kind of have a different... I would have stayed in college forever if my dad would have let me.
Oh, my gosh. I would have stayed for 20 years.
I loved it. I would have just kept taking different classes.
I would have been that professional student if I had the money.
I know.
I think that gap you're talking about, students getting experience between college and grad school, I think it's healthier when teachers like us have some experience as well to convey to the students. And I think that's one of the reasons. I told John he could teach at TC, probably teach at GB too, but... really, they just want someone. I mean, the syllabus, the curriculum's pretty much done. It's not done, but I mean, and they just want. Can you relate to that? Can you relate to a situation where there's unethical or sexual harassment?
You have to have been in the trenches, I think, to tell this true story.
I agree.
That you're talking about teaching history. The best history teachers I had, they tell a story. It's like, okay, I can relate to that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty cool what he did or she did, And in business, I got a lot of examples that I can bring up for certain things. And I think that makes you and I and Johnny just better educators.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stories we can't tell, Johnny.
Well, the thing is, it's truly about having been there, you could tell the kids how the sausage is made.
Right.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
With all the
warts and the whatever and the whatevers. Yeah. They have to hear those stories.
I tell them, I'm pretty candid. So I teach news reporting and writing. It's a TV news-based class. And I tell them some of the mistakes I made. And I mean, they just look at me like, horrified sometimes.
I know.
And I'm like, yeah, don't do this.
And something that the text they give, the textbook they gave me the first time I was teaching was all about, you know, Starbucks and these West Coast companies and East Coast companies. I'm like, you know, successes, but we have them right here in Green Bay. I mean, across the street, Schreiber, you know,
yeah,
and Schneider and you know, Nicolet Bank. And there's just some great companies here that we can study. We don't have to go outside the box.
You know, I just want to say one thing, though, about taking that year off in between.
Yeah.
And I worked in the mines, you know, the summer student during school. And I remember sitting there and this one kid goes, and the guy goes, where are you going to college? He says, well, I think I'm going to take the year off and just save some money. And then, and the guy goes, oh, and he goes, well, he goes, I said the same thing 17 years ago.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Once I started getting those really big paychecks, I just, okay, next year I will.
I hear you.
And then you buy a truck.
Yeah.
And then the next year I will. So you got to be careful with that with these.
Exactly. Gigs. Yeah. It's unique to each person.
Can you stick around?
Too. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to start a quick break. Nate Rose, a phenomenal local artist, will be joining us next with Danielle Bina. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now on Facebook, search for Mino and the Mayor or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Oh, my God.
Sure hey, what? Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor, along with Danielle Bina here on a Good Looking Tuesday morning. Nate Rose, local artist, is joining us. And Nate just said he owes everything to his boss when he worked at Lock, Stock, and Bagel.
Did he really say that, though?
No, he didn't. He just admitted that he did speak to him. Go ahead, a little closer, Nate. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Welcome, Nate. We're glad you're here. You're an artist.
Yeah, that's like my side job, sort of side gig.
But it's a pretty big time deal.
Thanks. I'm glad you think so.
Well, I'm looking at some samples of your work, and I would say that could be your day job.
Oh, thanks.
It's beautiful stuff.
Explain this a little bit. What you do? Because you just brought in a bunch of Altoid cases, and explain. Get a little bit closer to Mike, if you don't mind, there, and explain what you do. It's really unique.
So these are in oil paint. So I started doing these a little over a year ago. I've been learning how to paint in oil for the last like 2 years. I've been painting in acrylic for like 20 years, but, so this is kind of new to me and this is definitely not my idea, but I've seen people post this sort of thing on Instagram and other places. I would just put my palette in the bottom of the tin and put a little canvas at the top part and just paint it right there.
So your whole thing, instead of having the big easel and the big canvas and everything like that, your entire thing is self-contained in an Altoid can.
Yeah, right. And people like them as just like a complete art piece.
Right.
Just put on their shelf or whatever. But I do it also with I have a big easel and I do make big paintings.
Sure.
About too.
But this is really unique.
Yeah. Yeah. I like
and
that.
Do you...
Is this dry?
Do people order that, or is it just you come up with the concepts and you got Vince Lombardi to some landscaping? You got a lot of things on there.
I do commissions sometimes. I've done some for friends of like their house and like things like that. But otherwise, all these ones here are just my idea. Like I usually walk around and I look for things that I would want to paint.
Well, this is our neighborhood right behind us here.
Yeah, I just did that like a week and a half ago. I just posted up on the bridge
awesome.
And made it. Yeah, looking that.
So,
way.
Like, that's looking at our back door. That's
Al's
awesome.
Hamburger.
Yeah.
There. So it's hard to describe this on radio.
Yeah.
But, so imagine you have an Altoid tin, okay, and you open it up. And there's a little teeny canvas oil painting on the cover.
Not a lot bigger than a matchbook.
Right.
Yeah. 2x2.
And then
inside
the tin is all the different colors of oil paint dabs that went into it, and they're dry. So you can, you know, touch it, and it's dry
paint. So
it's
part of the art.
It's part of the art, yeah. And you can close it up and open it up.
Yeah,
yeah,
you have to
very
do it kind
cool.
of carefully.
I'm not an artist in the least, but I would think it'd be a lot harder drawing something that small than something a lot bigger. True?
Oh, yeah.
Or painting, rather, I should say.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I was just thinking about this. Like, there's something about the subtlety of making art. Like, if I'm not really a portrait painter, but I've done them sometimes. But if you like just paint like the eye or the mouth of like a recognizable person, just off, just like a tiny little bit, it just throws the whole picture off. So Like, I feel like this kind of subtlety lends itself to bigger pieces as well, too. So
Cool. Besides the art, you work at a university. You've written a children's book. Tell us a little bit more about about Nate.
Well, I guess this all starts 20 years ago when I worked at Lock, Sock, and Bagel, and Jim owned it for a little bit there. And at that time, I just didn't know what to do with myself. I was a really bad high school student, very immature, so I didn't go to college at the time, which ended up being a good decision. But that was when I started painting, like in the early morning hours after Bagels. And then I moved out to Oregon in 2009, became inspired, went back to school at Central Oregon Community College, ended up transferring to Portland State, getting a degree there in art. But I got a master's degree in higher ed administration.
Wow.
And I moved back to Wisconsin 2 years ago. I still have my job for Portland State University. They've kept me on. So I work remotely. So that's my life story.
You live in Green Bay and work for Portland State?
I do.
Okay.
Yes.
That's
I love this world.
Yes, right. And I'm sure out in Portland, some of your ideas for your landscaping came from there.
Oh, yeah. I was totally inspired by the mountains. That's why I decided. I was actually hiking on the South Sister Mountain in Central Oregon. I was like, I should go back to school for art. And so, like, that night, I basically enrolled in Central Oregon Community College, which is in Bend in Central Oregon. And then I had done, like, the plein air paintings out there, out in nature, but with acrylic paint. But it doesn't lend itself that well to that sort of thing. So when I moved back to Wisconsin, I decided to learn oil paint.
We talked about these nice little towns, Vermont. I was actually in the town of Sister, Oregon. That is the coolest little town ever, isn't it?
That's where I first moved to.
No kidding. It is one of the neatest places.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Three Sisters Mountains are right there. That's why it's called Sisters.
Yeah. Dan Fouts lived there.
Okay. I think I've heard
Remember
that.
Dan Fouts?
Yeah.
Quarterback for the San Diego Chargers. NFL Hall of Famer. But he moved.
Sure
he went to school at University of Oregon, and he moved into that community. It's just one. The West has some cool little communities. Yeah.
Yeah. Ken Rutgers, actually, he was a sociology adjunct at the community college I went to. And I took his class for one day. I ended up not taking it, but I was just like, Ken Rutgers, I know who you are.
Oh, neat.
Thank you for winning a Super Bowl.
Oh, that's
It
very
must have
cool.
been physics.
Sociology.
Yeah.
Or genetics.
Actually, we had Matt Brock on, the former Packer defensive end, last week, too, and he's living right in that area.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
That's just a great little area.
It is. Oh, man. And you get a lot. It's beautiful out there. Everything from, Portland out to Seaside, you get to the ocean. It's just, that's a great state.
Although, say this, that's kind of the boundary, because from there to Idaho, where I lived, there's not a lot there.
Yeah.
Half of Oregon is kind of deserty.
I kind of like it, volcanic. Like the John Day fossil beds and stuff.
Yes.
Like, I kind of like it out there. It's like being on the moon, but yeah, there's not much happening.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did you get back here?
Well, I guess 2 years ago, I just decided, I lived in Portland for 10 years, just time to change. I was kind of tired of the rain, honestly, the weather kind of gets to you after a while. So.
It really does, huh?
Yeah.
I just thought they just said that to keep us Midwesterners
away. Me too,
to keep
everybody else away.
I've been out there and it's been beautiful skies and just the Seattle, that whole neck of the woods. But I know it does rain a lot in Portland.
They like people from Wisconsin. I think it's the Californians they want to keep away.
Right.
They're the ones moving up and jacking up all the prices.
Right, the real estate.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking, we had somebody here that had been a sportscaster in Montana. And he said he had to live so far away from work because the price, I think it was Bozeman or Missoula.
Missoula.
He said somebody earning like a normal wage, like a TV person makes at that level of market, you couldn't live there. He said it's gotten so expensive with people from California and everything moving up there.
All the Hollywood stars buying up all the ranches.
Absolutely.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That, and if Coeur d'Alene, that whole neck of the woods has just gotten
gorgeous.
It is, it's just now that you can work from anywhere, why not, right?
Right. I did the opposite. I moved to Green Bay.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're here.
Where'd you go to high school?
Green Bay East.
So what was he like as a boss?
I would only see Jim a few times, usually in the early morning hours, coming to pick up stuff like to bring to the farmer's market or the marathon or whatever. I generally worked with Donna more because she did more of the day-to-day operations. But no, it was good.
You're a great worker.
Is it that way at home too, Jim, where she does most of the,
management? The management, yes. Yeah, she does most of the management. Hey, where do we get your stuff? This is very unique.
Very unique.
She was saying that you open up this little box and it's kind of cool. Like you look at the picture, but you don't really know what goes into the picture. But you show that because you have the painting colors that went into it. So, where do we get that? And tell me a little bit more about the commission side of things.
Well, my website is nate-rose.com, and that's where I have like a link to my Etsy store. So I have some of these on my Etsy. I've got more coming. The oil paint takes a while to dry. I have some of my bigger paintings up at White Dog on Broadway.
Great.
I have some big abstract paintings there, and also some of my normal sized. Door paintings, I did Pell Hell, Maribel Caves Hotel, Little Chute Windmill, Shopko DePeter before it got taken down, that sort of stuff.
Hey, so. Todd, have you ever been there to the Maribel Caves?
No.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, he's a big paranormal guy.
Oh, yeah. You got to go.
Really?
That's,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
I love the way that you're documenting local landscapes, yes, and things. So I think that's really, really cool. All these, I look at these, there's Al's Hamburgers and, you know, right downtown, the Bay.
Lombardi statue.
Lombardi statue.
Our building.
Yeah. Very,
is that
very
your,
cool.
Yeah, that's, yeah, the back of where you're sitting right now.
Yeah. Well, that's there, but yeah, that's, yeah, that, we're right,
very
there. That's
cool.
Our block.
Very so nice.
I love this landscape overlooking the Bay, I would imagine.
Yeah, I see the Fox River kind of by DePeer.
Okay.
It's like a,
okay,
boat launch.
You got
to, I see, read the back here. Nate Rose, 2023, I'm sorry. First place winner, Tiny Art Show Kimberly.
Kimberly Library, yeah. I happened to be at the Kimberly Library, and I saw they had all these little canvases, and I was like, what's that? And there was like a couple of them left, and they're like, oh, we're having like a tiny art show. And I'm like, oh, like, can I have one? And they're like, sure. And so I made that little painting. Like, I took a picture one night, and I really love the clouds, like late summer clouds. And so I made that painting, brought it back to the library, kind of forgot about it. I went back there like 3 months later, and I found out that I won first place. So. Shout out to the Kimberly Library.
Yeah, nice. and to Tiny Art. I didn't know that was a thing. You know what I mean? I think that's pretty cool that they...
I've never seen it before.
Yeah.
Very nice.
But again, just to let people know, also, I've got the big Altoid case. You'd use the little tiny ones that are what? 2 inches?
Sometimes you got to challenge yourself. And
2 inches by an inch and a half?
Go even, right, tinier.
Wow. Wow.
So nate.rose.com.
Dash. Nate-Rose.
Like Dash-Rose. See, that's why I read it back, because, mm-hmm, or else I couldn't find you.
Etsy is Art by Nate Rose. Instagram, if people want to see what I do, it's Nate Rose to the Occasion. That's like where I post publicly.
Nate Rose to the Occasion?
I love it.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think of it more as a verb.
Wordplay.
Yeah, I like it. So do you have your shows, or is it just something we walk into White Dog and see it, or do you actually, are you there? Do you tell us about your inspiration? And
no, those are just up on the wall.
Okay.
Like if you go eat. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been doing a good job of just like marketing myself and getting myself out there. But I mean, I have my day job for Portland State. So this is all stuff I do on the side. But I have kind of a lot of stuff kind of building up now. So I'm looking to get myself out there more.
All right. Well, we want to help you with that. We love local artists. I mean, we love all the arts, right? Music, visual, obviously what
you're
doing.
We love creative people.
Right. Yeah. We do. We do.
He needs a golden retriever, though.
Yeah. Give him a picture.
I'm going to. Yeah,
send him a picture.
I'm going to send you a
picture.
I
could try doing a pet portrait.
Yeah. I mean.
What's that called when you hire somebody to do a portrait?
Commission.
Commission. Yeah. Commission a picture. Yeah.
Yeah.
The queen of our house.
But they have to. But then he sets a price ahead of time.
Yeah. No,
or else you fall in love with Todd. You'll pay anything.
Yeah. Not humanly possible to talk about anything without.
No.
Wait, without the financial aspect.
I should tell you,
Dave,
that's a beagle. I'm not paying for that.
Right. I had. Someone did a commission, a picture of my dog, and it's just like, it's unbelievable how well she captured that. And that's like what you do. I don't have the picture here. It's hanging up in my house. But anyway, that's cool that you do that. And yeah, we want to help you. We want to get the word out. What do you do at Portland State now? You're an admin?
Yeah, my title is program administrator. I work for the electrical and computer engineering department. I do a little bit of everything. I do some advising. I do admissions work. I administer the internship program. I do the course scheduling. We're shorthanded at the moment, so I'm doing also a bunch of random stuff. I handle the website for the department. I do,
wow,
yeah, lots of
on
stuff.
On the electrical engineering side, and this is a little different.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I'm not an engineer at all, but.
You can tell them what classes they need.
Absolutely.
Right.
What kind of art training did you have?
Well, I have a bachelor's degree from Portland State in art.
Did you have one at East? I mean, were you big into E? Were you an artsy kid at East?
I did take art classes in East as like my electives, but I was not a good student. I was very immature, and I think anyone that knew me back then can probably verify that. So it was actually a very good idea that I waited to go to college until my mid-20s.
See, so we were talking about that.
Is that a good idea or not? At least you went. Our concern is some people don't.
Well, they say they're going to take that gap year, and like they said, you know, 10 years later.
Once you get a nice paycheck coming
next
in.
Next year, yeah.
Right.
So, but, you know, for some people, it's a really good thing. You know, they just need that year to mature. And
so where's your studio's in your home?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. My living room is an art studio.
That's got to be fun.
That's like that you know, the guy on PBS, right? His
Bob Ross?
Yeah, he was, right? It was his living room. You can go look at his house. Everybody walks in there like, wow, this is it. But he painted in his living room. So
you know,
you gotta grow your hair a little different.
I'm amazed, though, of the talented archetype people we have around here.
Oh, man.
Like our good friend Spencer.
Yeah.
With the, what he does out there and the different things. It's just, this is a great, maybe it might not, but we're really good friends with the lady that runs the art garage just down the road here, Naomi Mose. And we were there one night, Jim and I, with they had just a showing of, you know, local artists, what they brought. Wow, huh, Jim?
Yeah. I think they have some kind of this weekend, too. And what I like about the art garage is it just allows people, I mean, you're pretty popular, but people who are less known get to really come and display their art. And people who like art go, and they have food trucks outside, and they just tour it. And it's just a great evening that...
A lot more venues.
Yeah, it's just...
Well, the art garage, too, before my dad passed away, you know, he was a little amateur painter. He was a doctor by trade, but he painted. Not like, you know, quite that level, but he painted. And he did a lot of really kind of cool watercolor work.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
He was 92 years old, and he took art lessons at the art garage.
No kidding. That's fantastic.
I know.
That's I love to hear that.
I know.
That's pretty cool. All right, so what are your future plans? You're going to give up on the Portland State and go full-time art? Or
Eventually, I'll probably try to find a job at a college here, but I don't know. We'll see.
Awesome. Great. Two words for you. Let me see if you have a response. Neil Lomax. Best quarterback ever to come out of Portland State.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's an art major.
I'm just like, throw it out there.
Give
all
the
right?
kid a break.
Everybody remembers Neil Lomax. All right. Thanks very much for being here, Nate Rose. We'll be back with Cameron Moreland coming up. After this. What the people need is a way to make them smile. It ain't so hard to do it. Don't you feel it growing? Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor, Danielle Bina with us today. Special thanks to Nate Rose. I have, you know what? It's funny when you see somebody that can do stuff like that.
Man.
It's like... We're not all created equal. How can you have that talent and I can't even do any? You know what I mean? It's funny how some people have such talents.
And his business card says that, you know, it's like people only do things because they get paid, and that's just really sad. I mean, this guy is really into his work.
Well, that's why we do what we do.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. But yeah, just Nate Dash.
Radio and teaching.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's going to
BS him for a living.
Yeah. I'll work for nothing.
Well,
I just love
it.
We're
talking
about
my first job in Twin Falls, Idaho. Yeah. I almost did.
Me too. My first teaching.
$9,600 a year.
So. My first job in television, I get hired and I want the job so badly.
Yep.
The news director looks at me and he says, well, yeah, it's $11,000 a year and then you could get a $200 raise after probation. I said, wait, what?
Where did you start?
I started at the WCCO-owned station, KCMT in Alexandria, Minnesota.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So about that same level as far as market size.
Yeah,
where I started,
like small market. Yeah. Good thing to do. Make all your mistakes in front of a smaller audience before you move.
You know
up.
What? There
Which
was a
I
chance.
Did.
Do you remember Broadcasting Magazine?
Oh, we lived.
We lived for
because all the jobs.
Yes,
were in
we
the
would
back.
We would sneak in.
Oh, yeah.
To the general manager's office
and steal it
and put it on the copier. For all the jobs listed around the country.
Jim, seriously, like I would sit at night, overnight, doing radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Looking through R&R and all that.
Yes.
For gigs.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was the only way to
company
find
loyalty.
A job in those days.
I know.
That's all. That's exactly the way you found a job is by doing those things.
And some of those managers would be like, not wanting you to
They
get
would hide
those.
It.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Would
they
hide
would hide
the magazine.
That. But I then so. I found out that the Brown County Public Library had it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
I never knew that.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And so. All of a sudden, Danielle was visiting the library.
Or maybe if they wanted
Weekly.
You out, they'd leave it on your desk.
But good point. But
take a look at this.
There was—I remember when I was interning at the TV station in Phoenix, and there was a job opening that would like later on in my career would have been perfect. It's for—it was for the Channel 5 like satellite station up in Escanaba, Michigan.
Oh yeah.
It was to be like a feature reporter.
Well.
So I mean, this is my hometown, my home area. So, and the guy was work or the. The main sports director at the TV station, where was he? Goes, let me tell you something. You're going to make a lot of mistakes, and you're not going to be great. Do you want to do that in front of your friends and family? And I didn't think about that, but he was right, because I was like, oh, look how cool I am. And it's like, no, that's, you're going to make, go make all those mistakes in Twin Falls, Idaho.
Oh, I made, I tell my class all the time, I'm like, so I had to interview Alan Greenspan.
Oh, wow.
And now I'm not, you know, I'm like.
That would have been good for you, Jim.
23 like years old. Oh. And certainly not good in economics. And supply side economics at the time. And,
it's amazing. And it was like, Jim, you want to jump in here?
You know, it's amazing that you interviewed him. How'd you get that?
I don't know. They sent me and said, go do it. And I didn't even know who the guy was. You know, but back then, you know, you couldn't Google it.
No.
Yeah.
So if you're 22 years old, and you're, you know, fresh and you're out like, you know, here, you're going to go do a story on artichoke farming. What? Okay. So there I am in in my high heels out on the farm, sinking into the, you know what, this deep, ruin a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
And I'm making $11,000 a year.
Yeah.
Now, I can't afford to buy new tires for my car, much less, you know, hey, let's go buy some Prada shoes.
I qualified for food stamps my first year.
And it was like, well, you're either, you know, months, you get a raise or you get fired. This is what the guy
said.
You're right.
I did
get a raise.
Because you know what they would do? Here's another thing general managers love to do. Yeah. Keep an entire stack of resume tapes in their office. Yeah. True?
Yes. Well, you know, you're just one of millions.
Yeah.
Alan Greenspan, so would you grill him on the money supply or what? I mean, how did you know at 22 what to ask Alan Greenspan?
Well, there was a... Remember, they used to clip newspaper articles?
Oh, yeah, of
course. Assignment desk would clip a newspaper article, and as you're, you know, putting your coat on and walking out the door,
they'd give you the file. Yeah.
Here. I just basically did the open-ended...
Yeah.
So, what do you do?
Do you have a pet?
Do you have keys to the U.S. Mint or what?
So, basically, the kind of questions you guys would ask.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
On this show.
A fun interview. Right.
I know nothing, but I'm going to act like I know everything about it.
You had to be, though.
Yeah.
And you had to learn to think on your feet.
Oh, it was something.
So, what do you tell your students today? Like, what? I mean, the industry's changed. You've been in it for, what, 30-some years? What do you tell them?
You know, on a micro level. Proofread, for heaven's sakes. Yeah. It's alarming. But no, on a macro level, you know, good storytellers are good listeners. They're good. They're people who keep their eyes open and they think like their audience. I think those are probably the things I think. Don't think like yourself. You know, don't start with me because that's probably not going to interest you and you and you. You know, think like that.
And another thing was, professor, little things sometimes stick with you. You know, you could have classes for semesters, and you remember one thing from that class.
Oh, yeah.
And one was work extremely, extremely hard to ask the best questions and then get the hell out of the way.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, interviewing. The best interviewers rarely talk.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
You know.
Get out of the way.
Like, you know, the difference between Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel.
Good point.
Jimmy Kimmel's a good interviewer. He's terrible at improv, but he's a really good interviewer. Jimmy Fallon always has to be on, so, you know, he's not as good. They all have their strengths and weaknesses,
For you, a guy that was interviewed thousands of times, would you agree with that assessment where...
I think you have to like the person interviewing you to really let your guard down.
Oh, that must have been tough.
It was.
Give Danielle the bell.
Yeah.
Give her the bell. Yeah. We don't give out the bell to just anybody. We got to set our quick break. Cameron
years,
Moreland's going to be on.
My feelings are squashed.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.